CGTV.
So here I am in Canton, Ohio, sitting in my sister's backyard in front of this dead tree. Look at this thing. And yeah, dead, just like almost everything else in this eon. All right, I'm gonna stop whining for one show. Except I can't find a piece of level ground. Stupid Earth, I hate this planet. I can't even find level ground for my camera. I'm gonna stop bitching after I get my camera situated. All right, there. I'm gonna stop bitching starting now. All right, I was getting gas earlier and I looked in the rearview mirror. I got my gas, pulled up to the thing, pulled up to the parking place because I'm trying to find some juice. I want that naked. You seen that naked juice? This one's got all kinds of vegetables in it. Shake it up. Now about 55 servings of vegetables. And I look in the rearview mirror. I see a guy behind me. Looks like Charlie Kronk. The only reason that's a little weird is because Charlie Kronk is dead. Charlie Kronk died probably 5 years ago. Might be 6 years ago. And I thought to myself, you know, Zender, I said to myself, Zender is what I often call myself. I said, what if that was Charlie Kronk? Well, yeah, what if that was Charlie Kronk? I'll tell you exactly what would happen if that was Charlie Kronk. I would jump out of my car. I would put my hands on his shoulder. I would say, Charlie Kronk. I'd, you know, slap his shoulder, Charlie Kronk. I'd grab him and kind of look at him. Kronk, Kronk, welcome back. Holy crap, where you been? And he would say, ah, Martin, good to see you. Pat my back, I pat his back. It'd be awesome. And then we look at each other and we go, well, what do you want to do? Get a pizza? I'll see if Kelly wants to go to, you know, Harmon's. We'll have a drink. It would be business as usual. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Jump up and down? Act like a freaking, sorry, but Pentecostal person? But here's the manifestation of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit that I would manifest. Yes, I would manifest a manifestation, and this is how it would be manifest. It would be manifested, and of course Charlie Kronk is raised from the dead, because God can raise people from the dead. It's simple. Why would I be excited, or, I mean, I might be a little bit excited, but why would I be, like, surprised, or, oh my God, oh my God? It's just, of course, Charlie Kronk, God chose him to resurrect him from the dead. That's what God does. It would be kind of amazing for about 5 minutes, probably less, and then Kronk and I will get back to the business of fellowshipping, of, you know, trying to have a good time, and that would be it. It would be, yeah. So that is a spiritual manifestation. Why? Because I expect God to raise people from the dead. It's easy for him. Remember, I mean, I live what I teach. I teach that it's easy to resurrect people. It's hard to keep people infirm, to keep people stupid, to keep people down. That's the hard part. So yeah, Charlie Kronk raised from the dead. Awesome. And that would be a manifestation of the Spirit, to treat it as common, to treat it as, there's Charlie Kronk. We miss you while you were gone. He wouldn't remember anything. I wouldn't be so dumb as to ask him, so what happened when you were dead? I know, it's just like he went for a long, long nap. He might be a little groggy. Say, Kronk, you missed a few things. The Browns still haven't won the Super Bowl. Don't worry about that, Charlie. Don't worry about that, not even close. So that's that, I thought of that. Now, in yesterday's video, you saw me on the porch, on the front porch here, and I was saying something that might be deemed by some to be crazy, but which is completely sane to me. I talked about standing up on the porch and pointing my finger at random people going by and said, you have eternal life. You have eternal life. And then I did the strange thing, which you might have found rude or odd, or why is Martin so crazy? Please, one question at a time. I would point the person and say, you have eternal life, get out of here. You have eternal life, shut up. You have eternal life, get out of here. Why would I do that? Why would Martin say, get out of here, after telling people they have eternal life? Why would he say, shut up, after telling people that they have eternal life? This is why. Because it is the exact opposite of what mainstream religion does. Because they don't tell you things as a fact. They tell you things that require your contribution. Like, you can have eternal life if you, and then the response that they're looking for is for somebody to attach themselves to them. Masters, tell me how I must, tell me what I must do to have eternal life. And so I, of course, being the anti-denominational preacher, being the anti-establishment crusader, oh, we just went into my hair, I would do the exact opposite thing. You have eternal life. Get the hell out of here. I don't want you. No, go, go, run. Get away, get away, get away. You have eternal life. You have eternal life. Quit following me. Scatter, flee, disperse. I don't want you around here. That'd be so great because they're not used to that. It's like, take it because it's yours and there's no response necessary for you to have eternal life. And then I thought, this is great because then I thought of the cross. The cross loomed large to me, and I thought, look at what happened at the cross. It was the same thing. Jesus Christ on the cross was repelling people. It's like, I'm dying for the sins of the world. Now get the hell out of here. I'm dying for the sins of the world. Shut up. He doesn't want to be talked to. He doesn't want to be, you know, hey, Jesus, how's it going? You know, well, he is focusing on the suffering, he is focusing on the joy set before him, the glory, he's concentrating on his Father, and he is doing something that requires no contribution. And we see that by his sheer loneliness, his sheer aloneness at the cross. And there's a perimeter. The Romans kept a perimeter, and you could only get so close. I know his mother and John was there, and the rest of the disciples fled. They didn't want anything to do with it, but there was a perimeter, even for his mother, Miriam, and for John, because you couldn't come that close. Because I would put a perimeter up too if I was heralding what Jesus accomplished. There's Jesus. He's actually accomplishing it, and there's a perimeter around him. You can't get to him. You can't touch him. You can't do this. You can't do that. It's a singular act that requires no contribution. And 2,000 years later, I am heralding what Jesus Christ did. And I also have a perimeter around me, and it also is a singular declaration based on the singular act of Jesus Christ that requires no human contribution. And it is true for you as it stands. This hit me. It's like, oh, the cross was so singular. And it made me think, that made me think of Romans 5. For Christ, this, I'm in 5, 6, Romans. For Christ, while we are still infirm, still in accord with the era, for the sake of the irreverent died. Yes, listen to this, it gets better. For hardly for the sake of a just man will anyone be dying. For the sake of a good man, perhaps someone may even be daring to die. Yet God is commending this love of his to us, seeing that while we are still sinners, Christ died. So Christ doesn't even die for good people. Not just people. Someone might die for a just person. What about a good person? Someone might be daring to die. What about Christ? He didn't die for either just people or even good people. He died for sinners while we were still sinners. This is the opposite of the Christian confession that says you have to be at least good enough. Jesus Christ died for people who are good enough to recognize his work, to embrace his work. And only then did he die for them. In other words, he dies only for believers, i.e., he dies only for good people. Because you have to be a good person to believe in Jesus. Isn't that what they say? Those people who don't believe in Jesus, they're unholy, they're ungodly, they're dumb. People who do believe in Jesus, they're smart, they're good. But Jesus didn't die for good people. Jesus Christ died for sinners. And the result is justification. Because Jesus Christ died for sinners, not one good person did he die for. Not one just person did he die for. Therefore, justification now applies to the entire race. You are justified. That's what I would say. Also, You have eternal life. You are justified before God. You're justified before God. That would be absolutely true. Yes, absolutely true. Relatively true, absolutely true, you name it. You are justified before God. What do I have to shed at?